Modes of Action is now available to feed more nitrogen, boost nutrient uptake, and amplify yield potential. Proven G3 locks in at the roots to deliver steady nutrition when and where your corn needs it most. Lock in and learn more at pivotbio.com/provenG3.
Remember when they used to ask, "What do you want to be when you grow up?" At Bank of America, we ask every day, "What would you like the power to do?" When you work here, you help build businesses, inspire communities, and forge legacies. And now we've raised our U.S. minimum wage to $25 an hour. So the opportunity to do more also comes with competitive pay. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/25. Bank of America, proud to be an equal opportunity employer.
There's nothing like when you get that part from eBay and it just fits. Yeah, the first time. So you can do less of this and get right back to more of this. At eBay, you'll find all the parts you need, guaranteed to fit, at prices you'll love. Sounds good, doesn't it? eBay. Things people love. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297CH, Durand.
ABC News, I'm Michelle Franzen. President Trump hosting Argentina's leader at the White House. He just secured a $20 billion U.S. bailout for his country. Before talks on tariffs, the president also commented on the Gaza ceasefire and release of hostages yesterday after signing the U.S. peace plan.
We had a great weekend. We had a great period of time in the Middle East. It was very comprehensive. It went very rapidly, and I think it's going to lead to something that's going to be unrecognizable, certainly for the Middle East.
Tensions remain in Gaza. Five Palestinians killed today. The IDF says they violated the ceasefire military line. The government shutdown is now 2 weeks in. The Senate will vote again today on a bill to end the shutdown. But Democrats and Republicans remain deadlocked over health care. And tributes are pouring in following the death of R&B singer D'Angelo. Known for hits like Untitled, How Does It Feel? D'Angelo was battling pancreatic cancer. He was 51. This is ABC News. Pennsylvania Governor Josh Shapiro speaking out after the man who carried out a firebomb attack at the governor's residence in April during Passover pleaded guilty to attempted murder and arson charges today. Cody Ballmer was sentenced between 25 and 50 years in prison, Shapiro calling it a just outcome.
Pennsylvania Governor Shapiro says he carries enormous guilt.
That doing this job that I love so much has put our children's lives at risk.
Another after effect.
I don't know that I've been able to ease our children's worries, but I can tell you we've tried and it's been an ongoing effort.
Shapiro says he's talked to people who changed their minds about running for office
because they don't want to put their families at risk.
To state troopers and firefighters who saved them, the governor says he's grateful.
ABC's Chuck Sievertson. The nor'easter that's been raking the East Coast for several days now pushing out into the Atlantic. That storm is blamed for at least one death in Brooklyn. Michelle Franzen, ABC News.
With Progressive, it's easy to reach customer service with our app, website, chat, or by phone. Because when getting help is hard, it's not help at all.
A little help. A little help over here.
Thank you for calling Bench Press Assistance.
What?
Due to excessive gym volume, all available spotters are currently lifting heavy weights off the chests of other bench pressers.
Seriously?
Please continue to hold, and we will remove the barbell from your chest in the order in which your cry for help was received.
Getting assistance should be easy. With Progressive, it is. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates.
Workdays can be unpredictable, but your workwear shouldn't be. With a Cintas Apparel Plus program, you'll have freshly laundered garments for everyone on your team delivered every week. Cintas has workwear for just about any job imaginable, with high-performance fabrics and an uncompromising fit that stretches and moves with you. Don't leave looking and feeling good to chance. Visit Cintas.com.
Oh, I'm ready!
And get ready for the workday.
Wisconsin. Radio Network News. I'm Ted Aylin. President of the Wisconsin Senate will be running for her seat again.
12th District Republican Mary Felskowski says she is not going to run for governor or seek any higher office, adding she came to the decision after months of discussions with her husband and prayerful consideration. The Tomahawk native has represented the Northwoods in Madison for more than 10 years and had been seen as a possible Republican candidate for governor, a field that already includes Congressman Tom Tiffany and Washington County Executive Josh Showman. The partisan primary is next August. Mike Leishner, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Milwaukee police released video of a fatal officer-involved shooting.
The Milwaukee Police Department released the video on Monday. Captured by an off-duty police officer's dash cam, it shows last week's fatal encounter between the 40-year-old officer and 26-year-old Elijah Wilkes. It's the same footage which Wilkes' family viewed on Friday, after which an attorney representing the family said they believed Wilkes' fatal shooting was justified. Wilkes struck the officer with a handgun and pointed it at him following a minor traffic crash between the two. He was killed in the exchange of gunfire that followed. The department press release cautions that viewer discretion is advised. Bob Haig, Wisconsin Radio Network.
Electric and natural gas customers who need assistance need to do so before the end of the month. If you have outstanding electric and gas utility bills, the Public Service Commission of Wisconsin is encouraging you to make payment arrangements with your provider or apply for financial assistance before the annual winter heating disconnection moratorium begins on November 1st. Under state law, utilities can't disconnect essential services to residents during the moratorium. If you're currently disconnected, you'll need to make arrangements to restore service before utilities aren't required to reconnect service until payment arrangements are made. You're listening to Wisconsin Radio Network News.
Real Country 1430 WRDN reminds you to shop our area businesses in the listening area first. From Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, Ellsworth, Alma, and everywhere in between, find the products and services you need all at affordable prices. You know, these local businesses offer personal service you just don't get at box stores. Shopping locally first not only supports our friends and neighbors, but also supports you. Our local businesses contribute to many school and civic organizations. They provide jobs and they help strengthen our economies. Shop locally first. This reminder from Real Country 1430 WRDN.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and some scattered showers on your Tuesday afternoon. Highs reaching the mid and upper 50s, an east to northeast breeze. Showers look a little more likely in the overnight. Lows in the mid and upper 40s. Showers continue for the first half of your Wednesday. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. It's 50 at our studios.
So we had modest gains in corn after making new lows for the month. Modest losses in soybeans after testing $10. We had an outside day higher in wheat today. A continuation of the bull market in cattle. Major losses in the hogs and some very, very wild trade yet again in the metals. This is AgriTalk.
From an ongoing chip deficiency via Farm Journal broadcast, this is AgriTalk. This afternoon, we'll chat with Tommy G from Ag Bull Trading, Tommy Grisafi. I'm handsome newsman Davis Michelson, and now, filling in for Chip, please welcome from AgMarket.net, Brian Split.
What's up, Davis? How are you today, sir?
Really, really good. It's a good day, good. 77 degrees and cloudy. That feels about right for me here in KC. I'm kind of liking it. It's just...
Yeah, you know, the okay. Clouds accommodate the upper 70s pretty well. That's a real comfy temperature, I would agree. We're in the upper 60s today, but sun. So it probably feels similar, except I'm getting my vitamin D today and you are not.
Yes, that's right. I'm going to have to take mine in pill form, I'm afraid.
Okay.
But...
That's fine. 10,000 IUs a day, I think, is what they recommend during the winter months if you would like to keep your vitamin D levels adequate.
I'm five or six, depending on however many come out of the bottle. I don't count them. About 5,000 or 6,000 IU a day, and I've heard people say 10,000, and my thought is 10,000. That's a huge number. It's like psychological resistance for me or something. I don't know.
Just say 10K and it comes out. It's much easier. 10K. 10K of the vitamin D. It was kind of a boring day in the grains today. Go figure. But man, that cattle market just keeps on ripping, doesn't it?
It really does. and I don't know, I didn't put anything in the news about record highs or anything like that, because you just figure, well, it's another day. There's probably something record involved in here somewhere. And I'm looking at the November feeder contract, 381.32.5. Man, that's a big number.
Yeah, yeah. Just getting over that 380 benchmark, I think, is an eye-opener. Definitely opens up the idea to some much higher values here. But what moved the markets today, Davis? Let's talk about that.
Sure thing. Well, SRW wheat futures posted some short covering gains amid support from a correctively weaker U.S. dollar. USDA reported weekly wheat inspections totaled 444,000 metric tons for the week ended October 9. That was down 104,000 metric tons from the previous week and at the low end of the pre-report range of estimates. Meanwhile, a Reuters poll shows analysts estimate winter wheat plantings to be 66% complete as of Sunday. December HRW wheat futures were 7.25 cents higher at 488.5. December SRW wheat up 3.5 cents to close at $5.25. December spring wheat closed at 553.5. That's up 2 cents today. Now, because of the shutdown, we're not getting the plantings numbers, I guess, out of USDA. But I guess my question to you, Brian, if we're looking at a Reuters poll of analysts, I mean, maybe that's a number we could rely on.
That's about as good as we're going to get. So if you're going to rely on a number to trade wheat, then that's the number that you're going to have. But, you know, this wheat market, we made new contract lows today in the winter varieties. And the hard red wheat specifically had a really good day. We closed above yesterday's highs. We held at the low end of this downward trending channel. So I would like to think that at least for the short term, this gives us a kind of a change in the momentum. Maybe we get a little bit of a short covering rally back to the upper end of the channel. Maybe that gets you, you know, another 10, 15 cents before you hit resistance again.
Now, are we talking buying or are we talking just sort of exiting some shorts here? Is this bottom picking or is this getting the heck out of the way?
Well, that depends who the participant is, right? If you're short and you're trading the trend, then maybe this is an area where you're seeing some profit taking. I do think there's bottom pickers out there that, you know, there's a lot of people that have been talking about the you know, wheat versus corn, how cheap wheat is relative to corn. And it's been cheaper before, but historically you're getting to some pretty major value levels. So I think there's also an element today of, you know, having one market that the funds were selling, which was soybeans, and then they were doing a little bit of buying of wheat and corn. So it's just maybe one of those days of some spreading between different markets. We're going to take a little profit here. We're going to sell this, but hard to make too much out of today's trade in the big picture.
All right. Well, corn futures notched mild corrective gains in today's trade. USDA reported weekly corn inspections of 1.13 million metric tons for the week ended October 9. That's actually down 572,000 metric tons from the previous week, but still well ahead of year ago. U.S. harvest weather will be very good in the Delta, lower and eastern Midwest, and interior southeastern states this week. Conditions may trend a little wetter at times during the coming weekend and next week. All told, Reuters poll shows analysts estimate corn harvest to be 44% complete as of Sunday. Corn futures 2.25 cents higher at 413. March corn added 2 cents to 429.25. May corn futures closed at 438, up 1.5 cents on the day. What do you make of the corns today?
You know, I guess it was good to see the market finish positive and near the highs after making a new low for the month. You know, we had that initial low at 10.5. In the December contract for 10.5 at the beginning of the month. So we traded through that and then closed higher on the day. Very small trading range, but again, maybe went low enough just to run some short-term sell stops. Some of the, you know, people that were buying against the early month low, closing near the highs, maybe again gives us an idea that we could see some short-term momentum back to the upper end. But really, in order for this corn market to do anything meaningful to the upside, we have to get December through 430. We got to get March above 450. Otherwise, this is kind of range-bound trade at this point.
Well, soybean futures were lower as the soy complex was under pressure until sneaking back to just either side of unchanged by the close. USDA reported soybean inspections for the weekend of October 9 totaled 994,000 metric tons. That's up 210,500 metric tons from the previous week and near the upper end of pre-report trade estimates. Brazil's 25-26 soybean acreage may increase more than originally expected, given current low prices. That, according to crop consultant Dr. Michael Cordonier. November beans, 1 1/4 cent lower at 10.06 and a half. Jan beans declined a penny to 10.27 and a quarter. March beans closed at 10.39 and a half, down a half cent on the day. We saw pressure ease on the rest of the complex, on the meal and the oil, but November beans, the rest of the beans just sort of hung in where they were, Brian.
Yeah, reluctant to trade into the $9 handle on front beans. We seem to be really, gravitating towards the lower end and upper end of trading ranges based on social media posts right now and, commentary from administration executives. And so anytime there's a comment that looks potentially positive about relations with China or an upcoming meeting, we'll get a little bit of a bounce. The most movement seems to be coming from Truth Social posts directly from President Trump about his sentiment. So we're definitely at a lot of what we would call headline risk, but even more so, social media post risk at this stage in the soybean market.
Well, December cotton today fell 7 points to 63.51. Let's look at the livestocks, where cattle futures charged to fresh contract highs amid firming cash fundamentals. These fat cattle, $1.75 higher at $246.50. November feeders, $4.60 higher on the day at $381.32 and a half. And on the snout side, nearby lean hogs notched a fresh for the move low amid seasonal cash weakness. December hogs softened $1.70 to $83.15, and Feb hogs down $1.52 and a half to $85.45. Brian, split.
Yeah, big moves in cattle. I think you'll see a 400 in the feeders at some point here, maybe in November. But we'll talk about that. Stay with us. We'll have a conversation with Tommy Grisafi of Ag.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at CISA.gov/secureourworld, then share them with family and friends.
Want to get smarter and have some fun while you're at it? Introducing Unscripted and Grow Getters, two of agriculture's most entertaining and engaging podcasts. Hosted by U.S. Farm Report's Tyne Morgan and Ag Day's Clinton Griffiths, Unscripted is your chance to meet the personalities behind the personalities. And with heart and humor, Grow Getters with host Davis Michelson explores Ag's most innovative side hustles. You can find Unscripted and Grow Getters on the Farm Journal YouTube channel or wherever you get your podcasts. Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV. And you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
The Wisconsin Corn Growers Association has long worked tirelessly in the interest of today's corn industry. Because you're busy farming and raising a family, so we're at the table when you can't be. But like you, we can't do it alone. Our strength is in our members. Our strength is in you. Join us as we continue advocating for the American corn farmer. Visit WICorn.org and become a member today.
Life is better with American Family Insurance because our agents provide specialized local expertise to help you get the right coverage at the right price. We understand that dairy farming is at the heart of what you do, and we want to help protect what you've worked so hard for. Let's build the policy your dairy farm deserves.
Contact Paul Slusher, your American Family Insurance agent serving Durand and Chippewa Falls.
American Family Mutual Insurance Company, SI, and its operating company, 6000 American Parkway, Madison, Wisconsin.
The best talkers in ag, including you. Join the conversation on AgriTalk. Call us at 855-4-TALK-AG.
Welcome back to AgriTalk. This is Brian Split. I am filling in for Chip Flory, and we've got Tommy Grisafi of Ag Bull Media. We're going to cover a variety of topics. Tommy, welcome to the show, my friend. How are you, sir?
I'm doing well, BG. I'm doing well. I got my little time clock up, and as you know, the person who counts the seconds, it's off every other second. They're just not at work over there at the government, as we know.
Time.gov, yeah.
Well, Davis was telling us, be careful. The clock's off a little bit.
True. So we had a likely non-eventful day again today in the grains, and we seem to get a lot of those, and the market just kind of makes a move in a short period of time, and then it hangs out in that price. So the grains are relatively boring, but then you look at a lot of outside markets, and there's a lot of excitement elsewhere. What gives?
Well, the silver market, you and I had spoke after work yesterday, and I've always enjoyed trading silver when it's busy, which is not all the time. And I didn't realize how busy we were till late in the day yesterday in silver. And something interesting happened, and it didn't click till yesterday. It was actually someone else's post. But you couldn't make a margin call yesterday. And correct me if I'm wrong, but with the banking system closed, that means the wire system was closed. So people who needed to send in, say you're short silver, right? And silver's up $3, which is $15,000 per one lot, which I don't think you need to keep $15,000 in your account to have one silver. So you could have went home short one silver, done nothing wrong, just wanted to be short one silver, and you're already out of money. And when the clearing firm's calling to send money, you can't send money because the wire system's closed. And I think that created a really big forced liquidation that went all the way to yesterday's close. We closed 40 cents above settlement, and we gapped open there or stayed open there. Then we went up another couple dollars during the Bears game. And the good news of trading silver last night, Brian, was I got to stay up and watch that end of the Bears game. And I don't normally stay up that late. So congrats to that kicker. And
so the silver market is what kept you watching the Bears. Is that what I'm hearing?
I swear to you, because I was shorted up $1, $1.50. I really showed them when it was up $2, and almost had to make a pot of coffee. But we had some big moves last night in the NASDAQ and other markets. They were all up big, and then some news came out of China and everything rolled over. But when the outside markets rolled over last night, gold and silver were still holding on, and by the morning, it was a completely different move. I don't know if silver had a $3 range today, $4 range, but folks just out there listening, these are $15,000, $20,000 per one lot moves. Now, correct me if I'm
and,
right,
and hence Mr. the margin requirement currently on a silver
isn't that
is,
what one
is 19,250,
right?
Yeah, that is one contract of corn at $4 is the full margin requirement of silver, correct?
Right, and so a cash corn market, if you're trading 350 cash corn times 5,000 bushels, that's how big it is. So, folks, not that I'm encouraging anyone to trade this stuff, but they have micro silver, which are 1,000 ounces. They have the CME group. Call it the casino now because they are going to start opening 24 hours a day for crypto and stuff. They have 1 ounce gold contracts. And I called our friend, Matt Zahner. Zahner has that metals trading company, Zahner Metals. And I had a family member who wanted to sell 10 ounces of gold. And boy, is it busy over there on the actual metal side. And the odd thing was they looked up the records. This family member of mine bought this gold at 1700 an ounce, and they wanted to sell it at 4100 an ounce, and it was just 3-4 years ago. So these are real moves. Now this is different than grains, Brian, because every time we run up grains, we will find a way to take grains back lower. That's just what it's not like grains are going to go to this point. Remember when you and I were younger, I think you were just becoming a broker, there were people running around saying corn will never go below $5 again. That was a lie. And matter of fact, it did go below $5 and stayed there for about 2,700 days.
And actually, this was I was in the industry at that point for 5 years. So relatively new, big picture, but this was after the drought of 2012. And mm-hmm. the firm that I was with at the time, we were doing an acreage survey, and I'll give kudos to Allendale. They do an acreage survey every year, and I think do a pretty good job. But we were doing the acreage survey asking producers what, you know, their yield was. And then one of the other questions we asked is, you know, where do you think the high for corn will be in 6 months and the low will be for corn? And I had numerous producers tell me, and this is when we were trading $8 corn, that we would never see corn, you know, below X price ever again. And we were proven very wrong very quickly, you know, with that sentiment, because, you know, it didn't take very long to go to half the value. But you're right. I mean, the silver market can't, you know, necessarily see acreage adjustments, right? We're not going to say, oh, well, there's a big crop out coming out of South America. There's not, you know, producer selling during harvest, that we're seeing in, you know, in the agricultural market. So we are obviously operating on a much different, fundamental landscape, but I do think there's an interesting, you know, conversation going on with the metals and de-dollarization and concern about the fiscal health of the U.S. I know there's been a lot of talk about how silver needs to go back to the traditional ratio, where it's you know, 30 silver to one gold, which would suggest silver should be over 100. And we made new record highs this week. So it's definitely a market that's going to be fun to watch, if nothing else. But I think it would also be nice if some of that volatility and excitement eventually worked its way into the grains, because it's been a pretty big snooze fest here recently.
Yeah, absolutely. Referencing your 30 to 1 reference, during the Trump tariff debacle, it actually went to 100 to 1. Gold shot up and silver collapsed one night, and it went to 100 to 1. You need 100 ounces of silver to equal 1 ounce gold. I'm not quite sure where it is today. We could do it on figure it out on break. But with that, our point is it's busy. Now, bring that into corn, wheat, and beans. Folks, don't disrespect risk. If silver can go up $5 in 24 hours, it went up $3 yesterday during the day and $2 during the night, which into my mind, still the same day, just on a different margin calendar. That's a $5 move. That's a 10% move. If grains went up 10%, Brian, they'd be limit up, locked limit up. So the fact silver can move $5 and the energy markets can move as much as they can, it doesn't take a lot of money swooshing around to get this corn, bean, and wheat market moving. And I
think
know
you're right. It is the wean market.
The wean market, yeah. Big shout out to our sponsor, Monster Energy Drink here. I need a little pick-me-up. But, yeah, there's just – it's – Just don't lose respect to the markets. Now, with that, volatility's low. Whether you want to buy something, sell something, do something, volatility's low. And don't get comfortable in being a short bottle. So, in my opinion, during times when things are slow, people get cute and say, you know what, you could sell this call. We're not going to go there. I give you a name of a farmer. I don't want to mention his name, but everyone knows him. He's a mouthpiece on social media. But I remember one time he called me and said, I'm going to sell 100 of these March calls because there's no way in heck we can go there. 2 months later, we were 50 cents through it. And I think he only picked up like 12 cents and then ended up losing 50 cents. So anytime you can get a farmer, a trader, a broker to tell you where we're not going, take the other side. Speaking of taking the other side, these betting markets are becoming so much more prominent. You and I could say there's an 82% chance on Saturday that Trump will take back the statement that he made on Friday. Did you notice how much people are just willing to make a bet on a bet on a bet? And I think that's really going to tie into our markets here in the future, because I think pretty soon we're going to start having like a yield contract where we, heck with the price of corn, let's just trade the United States.
Yeah,
here, Brian.
What's the yield, right? It's like the presidential election, right? You could see
exactly.
The poly market, right?
Poly
so instead
market,
of,
yeah.
instead of right, trading you know, the reaction to the report in the futures, we're going to have its own market on what is the yield. We're gambling on the yield. We're gambling on the ending stock number. And we're
which
gonna
X
gamble
should
on
be
that
great
specifically.
At because that's all they talk about the whole time. I mean,
yeah,
they spend their whole summer focusing on that.
And a lot of times, and I know a lot of people have said this, but you could conceivably have a report and get the results ahead of time. And unless it was a major deviation from the pre-report expectations, you still might not even know how to trade it. And I think we saw that in corn. We've had multiple bearish reports, report after report. Oh, we found this many acres. Oh, the carry-in from last year was 200 plus million bushels higher than we thought. And yet the corn market shrugged it off. So being able to actually bet on the number itself instead of the reaction to the number adds a new element to it. I like that quite a bit.
Yeah, absolutely. One of the things I wanted to talk to you about is that someday President Trump's not going to be president. And who are farmers going to blame for bad marketing? Who's the media going to blame? The word soybeans has been trending on Google. And as you know, several farmers out there have contacted me and said they had over 10 different media sources contact them and say, how bad? Here's how they ask you. How bad has President Trump's policies hurt your farm? Well, hold on yet. Hold on. We don't know what we're being paid per bushel for the damage here in soybeans. It's not over yet. So is there damage yet? Has President Trump's policies hurt American farmers? Absolutely. Is it over yet? No, not quite yet. Because, brings me to another point, if you listen to the Ag Secretary, Brian, we're in the golden age of agriculture. And we'll talk about more of this when we come back with AgriTalk.
You know what? That's my job, and I still have a few seconds. And by the way, record South American crops, they don't help the situation. So this is not a singular issue that we're seeing, but we are going to take a quick break. And when we return, we'll hear more from Tommy Grisafi of Ag Bull Media. Tommy, stay in your lane. Don't close the segment. It's not done yet.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Our free, easy-to-use database uses photo matching technology across multiple social media platforms to bring lost pets home. Just upload a photo and quickly search the largest national lost and found pet database. Let's unite to reunite, because every lost pet deserves to find their way home. Register today at lovelost.org.
What's the first thing you do in the morning? For many farmers and ranchers, it's checking weather and market updates. Make AgWeb Daily Newsletter part of your morning routine, not only bringing you essential news and weather updates, but also covering topics such as smart farming and agriculture's next generation. And each weekday, stay informed and stay ahead with AgWeb Market Weekly. Whether you're at home or in the field, AgWeb Market Weekly keeps you connected and competitive.
Delivered straight to your inbox. Subscribe to both today at agweb.com/newsletters and never miss a beat.
Let's go to the markets page at profarmer.com and check today's closes, where December HRW wheat futures were 7.25 cents higher at 488.5. December SRW wheat gained 3.5 cents to close at $5.25. December corn futures were 2.25 cents higher at 413. March corn added 2 cents to 429.25. November soybean futures 1.25 cent lower, 1006.5. March beans closed at 1039.5. That's down a whole half cent on the day. December cotton today off 7 points, 63.51. To the livestocks, December fed cattle $1.75 higher, 246.50. November feeders $4.60 higher, but 381.32.5. And December lean hogs softened $1.70 to 83.15. Get more, visit tryprofarmer.com.
Want to get smarter?
I started making supplements for dairy cows in my garage and selling them to local farmers. Now First Choice Dairy Supply distributes products all across the U.S. and in 50 countries around the world. I'm Tucker Silverhorn, president of First Choice Dairy Supply, and I've been a member of Wisconsin Credit Union for over 20 years. I have a master's degree in organic chemistry. I know how to make these products, but I am not a money person. I need a partner with financial expertise, and that's Wisconsin Credit Union. I trust Wisconsin with all my financial matters because they've done such a good job of bringing different solutions to the table, being open and clear with their communication. As a business owner, I wear a lot of hats. One day I might be working on chemistry. One day I might be developing a new product. The next day I might be doing sales. Next day I might be plowing this parking lot. Having Wisconsin Credit Union come down and spend time with me, that's been really valuable for me. I run the science. They help me run the business.
Wisconsin Credit Union, federally insured by NCUA.
I can count on Wisconsin Credit Union.
Farmers, now's the time to apply lime to your fields from Lamb Ag Services. Lime reduces soil acidity, improves soil structure, promotes root growth, and improves crop yields. Lamb Ag Services sources lime from area quarries and offers straight or variable rates to match your field's soil needs. When you call Lamb Ag Services, there's no middleman. They answer the phone and do the work on your farm. Call Brian at 715-279-0267 for your lime application needs with Lamb Ag Services.
Here's your Real Country 1430 forecast.
I'm meteorologist Rodney Price. Clouds and some scattered showers on your Tuesday afternoon. Highs reaching the mid and upper 50s, an east to northeast breeze. Showers look a little more likely in the overnight. Lows in the mid and upper 40s. Showers continue for the first half of your Wednesday. Looking for a great place to live, stay, shop, and play? It's easy to get to Worthington, Minnesota. It's worth a look. It's 50 at our studios.
Opinions expressed on AgriTalk do not necessarily reflect the views of Farm Journal Broadcasting, affiliate stations, or sponsors. The truth is hard to come by these days, unless you listen to AgriTalk.
And we're back. Sorry, I had to do that just once. We're back to AgriTalk with Thomas Grassafi, and he is of AgBull Media, doing business as Nesvik Trading Group. Tommy, I'm going to recap some of the stuff that we talked about last segment, because I think maybe some takeaways for the highest portion of our audience would be relating to options. Volatility value in grain options is low right now. And you used to say all the time, you buy options when you can, not when you have to. And low volatility options are for buying, not selling. So probably not the best time to come in and try to sell a bunch of options in the grains to try and pick up some pennies. Number two, I think when we talked about the idea segment here about what we're really thinking about for, you know, the multiple issues right now. There's one person getting the blame for everything that's going on in the soybean market, but we know that there's a lot of things that are influencing markets overall. And so to put the singular blame on President Trump for low soybean prices, when really you could go back a year ago or 14 months ago from today, and we're really not much of a different price than we were. So I know that there's some producers that are getting impacted more than others, probably more basis issues based on geography and where their market is. But there was a lot of other things at play over the last several months, 2 years, with South American production. And I think you go back to the first trade war, and China culling half of their hog herd was a major part of soybean values being cheap. So again, this is not just a one man controlling the market environment. But anyway, you had mentioned the golden age of agriculture, and it seems like there's, you know, the market we were talking about, corn, soybeans, wheat, doesn't feel like the golden age there. But then you've got another market right now, which is the cattle market. And that seems like that is where the real excitement is in agriculture. What say you, Tommy? Is this market just going to keep on going, or what's the risk? What do we have to pay attention to here?
The risk is, that's a great question, Bri. The risk is real hard to define. So one of the blessings of working with the good folks at Nesvik is I get to work with this gentleman named Mike Sands, and he's been around forever. Him and Jim Wiesmeyer, they worked together at the old Sparks Group, then in and all this stuff. But every morning we do a conference call at 7:45, and the first 10, 12 minutes is cattle. And I've really learned a lot the last year being associated with Nesvik. And the whole time, the cash market has led this up. And we'll come out with cash numbers or what kill numbers are or what's going on in the fundamentals. And just like great grain traders or fundamental traders. And the fundamentals were so bullish that many people didn't even believe that they could be that bullish. That they'd say, that can't be right. We couldn't be that bullish. Because if we were that bullish, we'd be going to this level, that level, this level. And before we took a break, you said we could go to $4 feeders. And Brian, at this rate, we could be there sooner. So I wouldn't put any, I wouldn't say any level that a market couldn't go to. Now, it could go there. It probably won't stay there long, but it'll go there enough to break someone. It'll break the shorts real bad. Long-term effect, though, this is what I was thinking about today. Where will we be 2 years from now? What will the structure of the American beef industry look like 2 years from now? Did we just teach Mexico how to hold back cattle, process them, and export them? Are we teaching other countries how to get in the cattle business? Hey, folks, get in the cattle business. It's easy. Ground beef, $6.57 a pound. Is being in the cattle business easy right now? And for many, it hasn't been easy for 50 years, but these last few years have been very easy. And I think you got to go all the way back and say, how the heck did we get here? And it probably is a spinoff of COVID. We took those prices down so hard during COVID, and the actual rancher, the producer of the beef, was so out of control, and the packer was so in control. And we are the exact opposite of that right now. The rancher is in control. They are in the driver's seat. They've had the help of the funds, and the packer is just going out there and saying, this is what we'll pay. And they say, nope, that's not enough. They go $5 higher, and that's where cash trades that week. And that's what I'm seeing in the cattle market. And the numbers that come on these cash trades are amazing. Now, we know we don't have cattle coming in from Mexico. And who the heck's going to be the one who says, I think it's time to let them in. Let's let them in from Mexico. That wasn't a good three-day experiment we had last time. So not letting these cattle in from Mexico, fighting with every other country in the world, it's really changing things. But long-term, I think it's really bad for the cattle market, because when you take something up like this, we'll call it the chart has a blue pill formation, it's not good. It's not good at all for what it does. I remember doing an interview with Tyne Morgan during when grains went crazy during the Ukraine war, and farmers were like, this is amazing. These prices are amazing. I said, check in with me in 2 years and see where we were. Exactly 2 years to the day after Ukraine war, grains were tumbling. Now look where we are another year or two past that. We are in a miserable spot in ag because we shot the market up so high, we overproduced, and we got too many people involved. And when too many people get involved in a good thing, it dilutes the business. Back to you, sir.
Yeah, well, and also too many people get involved. And then there's the component of what happens to demand, right? Because kind of those two things turn at once. Too many people get involved, we produce more, and then we reach prices where demand also starts to falter. I will say that, my birthday was last Thursday. I'm now 46. And my dad and stepmom took my wife and I out to dinner Sunday night at a very nice steakhouse in the area. And I could not believe how packed it was in there. The bar was full. There was a party in the side room. They had probably 50 people in there. You know, and we're talking an establishment in the northwest suburbs of Chicago where you're paying $60 to $80 for a steak, right? A basic 10-ounce was like $65. It's not cheap. And this place was mobbed to the gills. So we're not at that price yet where the consumer is not willing to go out and pay money for a steak. It seems like they continue to view that as a luxury item. It's part of their entertainment budget, if you will. But I don't know. I know that at some point, this market will reach a level. We will have one heck of a correction. And I do think that we are probably likely in 2026 to really reach the trough of inventories of cattle in the country. So we'll see if we see a major expansion effort come into play. But it's very tough to do when the market continues to move the way it's moving. So outside of cattle and outside of the metals, which is where there's been some excitement, there's another market. And Tommy, I don't know if you have anybody that deals with cotton. Do you have many cotton clients now that you're in the Tennessee area, or how does that pan out?
No, just two clients, two Texas clients who could plant cotton, and sometimes they do. All I know is every time I look at the price of cotton, it's at 63. Every single day, 62, 63, 63. It doesn't move. It feels like it moves, but it's really not moving. And I think the margins over there are really tough. What do you know on cotton, my friend?
It's another market that's extremely sensitive to Chinese sentiment. And, I think that is another subset of the U.S. producer that is really hurting again. If we're going to point trade policy to a market and the potential outcome, cotton's another one where we have a big problem right now. And we are well below cost production there, and that's another market that you could use quite a bit of help. So I know, in the big picture, all these things and these low values, unless something changes, will have an impact on the way acreage gets planted next year. But the tough part is that when you start throwing government money around, I think it has an effect, some second order effects on the market that really shouldn't take place, and it's not letting the market do its job. So I don't know. It'll be interesting to see how the whole acreage discussion really pans out and evolves over the next you know, 4 to 5 months. But, you know, I think about like corn for next year, right? And we're sitting here near 450. And I don't know anybody that's excited about hedging corn for next year at 450. I don't have very many clients that want to hedge that. Where do you sit in, as far as that contract goes?
I looked before we came on. I have 5 clients who are involved in hedges of the 26 crop. Some of them were in NOV 26. I believe we went up to $11 a few months ago. I have a client who just prepaid for fertilizer, and so he sold some, Brian, maybe I'm misspeaking, July 27 corn, and I felt like we sold some July 27 corn at 470, 475 a week or two ago. And he said, if I'm going to prepay for corn or prepay for fertilizer to grow corn in 26, I have to start selling. So I think he sold about 15% of his crop, and we sold futures in that. This is someone who's very comfortable doing this. But those prices were cringeworthy. Hey, let's get pumped. Sell futures at 475. And that's not to say, this is interesting. This is what I want to talk to you about, probably is all we have time for. But that's not even say that that's a profit. This is just someone who's
covering some of their costs, right?
Yeah, it's just they're doing the mathematics of farming. I'm committing to being a farmer in 26. The environment stinks, okay? But we're going to prepay for fertilizer, so we have to go sell the corn. Oh, there's huge carry or big carry. Well, let's go capture some of that. Boy, I'm not happy about that price, and they're not happy about what they paid for fertilizer. But this is how we do it. This is how we were taught, or at least their teachings or their rules, their discipline of economics. But what's scary is, and you're very active now in media, and I've been active in media the last few years. I've had a chance to be on both sides of the camera, being a guest and also interviewing people. And this whole year, when I was interviewing people during planting, I would say to brokers or analysts, and it's not to pick on anyone, is when are you going to tell farmers to sell? And they said, well, when it gets to their cost of production. Folks, it never did. Back to you, my friend.
Yeah, well, hey, Tommy, I don't know if you're going to be around. You want to stick around for the next segment here?
Absolutely, I would love to.
I think let's expound on that a little bit more. But we're going to wrap this segment up, and then we'll come back here in a few minutes with Tommy Grisafi of AgBull Media, a.k.a. Nesvik Trading Group. We'll talk to you in a few.
Are you nearly maxed out on your credit cards? It doesn't matter if you're using your credit cards for fun or to survive. At the end of the month, your statements come in, and you can either pay them or you can't. If you can't, late fees and interest rates get tacked on, and now you're struggling just to make the minimum payment due. Do you feel trapped? Am I talking to you? Good, because I personally researched some companies that can help you. They may be able to reduce your credit card balances by 50% and stop the late fees. If you qualify, please call our special debt hotline number right now for a complimentary, free 5-minute consultation. Deal with your credit card problem now before it gets much worse and put more money back in your pocket. Trust me, I've been there too. Call right now.
800-948-1659. 800-948-1659. 800-948-1659. That's 800-948-1659.
Wesley Financial Group is not a law firm.
Hi, I'm Chuck McDowell, the timeshare cancellation guy. In 2011, I founded Wesley Financial Group with one goal in mind, to help honest folks out of their timeshares permanently. Today, I run Wesley with my 2 sons, a real family business, treating every client and every employee like we'd want our own family treated. That philosophy has helped us grow into the largest, most trusted timeshare cancellation company in the United States. Fortune magazine even recognized us as one of the best places to work. Why? Because we genuinely care. In fact, some of our former clients were so moved by their experience working with us, they joined our team so they could help others to timeshare freedom. If you're stuck in a timeshare, give us a call. Let our family help your family.
Call Wesley now for your free timeshare exit kit. 800-790-1400. 800-790-1400. 800-790-1400.
3 decades of Commodity Classic, agriculture's largest farmer-led event, February 25th through 27th. Experience game-changing solutions, connect with thousands of forward-thinking farmers, and explore innovations from over 400 companies, all focused on powering your farm forward with efficiency and profitability. Housing and registration opens November 6th. Don't miss 30 years of agricultural excellence in the heart of Texas.
Stream your favorite Farm Journal programs, podcasts, and personalities with the new Farm Journal TV app. You'll enjoy on-demand access to the agriculture information you need from the sources you trust. It's all at your fingertips and on your schedule, anytime, anywhere. The Farm Journal TV streaming app gives you all the must-see Farm Journal shows, all the podcasts from our expanding network, along with exclusive and early view content. You can stream on your phone or smart TV, and you can download programs and watch offline. Go to farmjournaltv.com now to get the special half-off introductory offer, which gives you unlimited access to all this content with a free 14-day trial subscription and the special price of $49 for a full year. Use code BIGDEAL to get this special rate. Don't miss a minute. Subscribe today at farmjournaltv.com.
Farmers, producers, and ranchers, this is for you. Now more than ever, it's crucial to manage risk and receive assistance with marketing. And why not meet in a fun atmosphere with other ag professionals for it? We invite you to head on over to Nashville, Tennessee for the annual AgMarket.net Farming for Profit, Not Price Conference. The general session for farmers, producers, and ranchers is February 1st through the 2nd at the Renaissance Nashville Hotel. To register, head to AgMarket.net and click on the banner ad at the top of our website or call 844-4-AG-MRKT. There's risk of loss in trading futures under options.
When the game is on the line, championship teams know the game plan. They communicate and work together to win. We all need a game plan to protect ourselves online. Talk to family and friends so they know how to stay safe too. Create strong passwords, turn on multi-factor authentication, update software, and recognize and report phishing. Because online safety is not something you want to fumble. Get more game-winning tips at cisa.gov/secureourworld. Then share them with family and friends.
If you're a diabetic, we have great news. You can end the painful finger sticks with a new CGM. Plus, they may be covered by Medicare, Medicaid, or private insurance. If you use insulin or have had hypoglycemic events, you may qualify. Call US Med now to learn more.
800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. 800-409-1936. That's 800-409-1936.
Do you suffer from talking on the radio phobia? No problem. Send us a tweet at hashtag AgriTalk.
All right, we're back. This is AgriTalk, and I am Brian Split. I am filling in for Chip Flory, and we have Tommy Grisafi here. Decided to stick around for the final segment, and thought maybe we would button up a couple ideas on that the back end of that last segment where, you know, I think you had mentioned, well, we're just going to wait to sell till we get to break even. And that's a tough proposition when you're thinking about forward marketing. And we'll use this year as an example, right? The highest price we got for these 25 corn back in those highs in February was up at that, the 480 area, and 479 and three quarters, I think, to be exact. And so for many a producer, that price was not actually a break even or a profit unless you knew ahead of time you were going to have a stellar or potentially record crop due to the cost structure. So I think the only way that you can really market based on your input costs is, as you had mentioned, that one producer where you look at costs individually and say, all right, I am booking a bunch of fertilizer. I'm going to sell X amount of bushels to cover that cost. Otherwise, you're really just chasing yourself in a circle because who knows what their cost of production is until they know what type of crop they have, until they know their final yield. What say you?
Well, that's all true. Everything you said is true. But we also have to know that there's a calendar and there's a physicalness of a bushel. So we're not trading Bitcoin. We're not trading gold certificates where it's like, I bought this ETF at this price and I just need to have it up in the cloud. Like, this is a physical business. Bins fall over and bushels are produced. And we knew what Trump 1.0 looked like. And so folks like yourself and your group and other groups were telling people, if Trump 2.0 goes like this, this could get ugly. Now, I think people did prepare for it, but this is where they couldn't prepare for it. It was very interesting. I think a lot of people got really, really, really bearish the soybean market, and they didn't capture the money in the futures or options because the actual market that tanked was the basis. And so you could have all the puts on in the world, and you got a big old goose egg coming here at November options expiration. And so unless you're ultra-disciplined, like the client I talked about earlier, where he, regardless of price, will actually lock in losses because the calendar says it's time to sell, or his experience says there's carry, we sell carries, but you're doing it at a loss. Well, we don't know what the government's giving us yet. And as a friend of mine who I asked him how he survived the hog business, his name's Chad from Eureka, Illinois. And I said, how did you and your father survive the hog debacle when hogs went down to like 8 or 12 cents? And you'll hear Rob Sharkey talk about the story a lot. He said, my father took this unprecedented $500,000 loss. And if he wouldn't have, we would have lost $5 million. And so the reason he's now a successful hog farmer is because his father was smart enough to take the first small loss rather than sit around for the real kick in the can and take the big one. And I was surprised this year at how many farmers or how many accounts came to me and said, I'd like to work with you. I paid someone $5 an acre. I farmed 5,000 acres. And I said, well, what'd you get for that $5 an acre? Absolutely nothing. We've sold nothing. We've done nothing. And so apparently paying $5 an acre does not get you a cash sale, Brian. Did you know that?
No, only a cash sale gets you a cash sale.
Right. And people are afraid to tell the truth because it's unpopular and you will lose business. And if you come on a show like this and say, hi, it's Tommy Grisafi, I'll help you lose less money than your neighbor. And hopefully you can renew operating faster than they can, because we're all in this sinking ship. And so you just want to try to get on that lifeboat and before it goes down. And I don't think it's that bad of a situation for everyone, but for some, it's a very bad situation. So we have to be respectful of all situations. And, you know, but we can't not talk about it or not pretend it's happening. So for 2026, I'd say the situation looks worse than it did in 2025. Back to you.
Yeah, with the way input costs look, and unless there's some type of a move higher in the December futures, it's not a good look at this stage of the year. And so, you know, the problem is if the soybean market comes under pressure on, let's say, a large South American crop, you know, continued lack of business on the export front, a combination of thereof, it's going to make it very difficult for corn for next year to go higher if the soybean market's weighing on things. So just something that's, you know, again, hopefully we can see something change. Hope we could see this market get a dose of some new information to change the current mindset. But, you know, sometimes these periods, and we lived through this a decade ago, sometimes it takes a few years to work ourselves through this little slugfest at you know, what may prove to be the low end of the range big picture before we get another bull market. But it doesn't, you know, the ship doesn't turn overnight, right? It takes a little bit of time to turn these big boats around.
Absolutely, my friend. Well said.
Well, I think we're about at the end of the show here, Davis. I think you had a couple things you might want to interject about how your weather is outside your window, or maybe who's on the show tomorrow, or what's going on there. Let me know.
There's all sorts of things that I could interject. Are you sure you guys are done? That was a fantastic show. I really appreciate the both of you taking the time from your busy schedules to help us out here. The weather's pretty simple, and apparently the National Weather Service is still hard at work despite the shutdown here, which I love. The 6 to 10 day temperature outlook, that's going to be valid October 20 through the 24th. Anybody west of Nebraska, you're looking at below normal temperatures expected. Anyone east of there, you can expect above normal temperatures, with the hottest temperatures down around the Gulf Coast there, by down in southern Texas there, and then clear up by the Great Lakes and into Maine is where we expect the hottest temperatures. 6 to 10 day precip outlook. We're above normal for the Western Belt. Medium dry through Illinois, Indiana, up into Michigan, through Missouri and Kansas. But then once we get out to the Eastern Seaboard, we're a little wetter there on the precip. 8 to 14 days, pretty simple. The entire contiguous nation is set for above normal temperatures. The precip outlook, looking a little further out, below normal precip over most of the Corn Belt. A little bit above average precip expected on the states, which basically which border the water to the east and up into the PNW. Chip's absence will continue tomorrow, everybody. We've got Michelle Rook coming in with the Farmer Forum tomorrow morning and tomorrow afternoon. She'll be bringing a very exciting, extra special mystery guest. Brian Split, take us home.
Again, AgriTalk, I want to thank Tommy for joining us from AgBull Media and Nesmith Trading Group, and Davis and Joe. Thanks for having us.
Every year, millions of pets go missing, leaving families heartbroken. If you lose or find a pet, Love Lost is here to help. Love Lost is a free, easy-to-use database utilizing photo matching technology to search participating shelter partners and social platforms to bring pets home. Simply upload a photo to report a lost or found pet to the largest free lost and found database, or pre-register your pet today so you're ready if the unthinkable happens. With over 100,000 reunions and counting, Love Lost unites communities through technology to make a difference. Let's unite to reunite, because every pet deserves a lifetime of love. Visit lovelost.org and register today.
So my mother is thinking of switching from Verizon to Pure Talk, but she's worried the deal sounds too good to be true. Michael, she said, how can those Pure Talk people offer me the same basic service as Verizon for so much less money? I said, Mom, go ask Google how much Verizon spends on advertising and promotion. A few seconds later, my mother said, oh my goodness, $12 billion a year? That must be a typo. I'll tell you what I told my mom, it's not a typo. Verizon spends $12 billion a year on advertising and promotion, and their customers are paying for it. Well, Pure Talk doesn't spend that kind of money on commercials. Trust me, I would know. Consequently, they can offer you and my mother unlimited talk, text, and plenty of data on a blazing fast 5G network for just $25 a month. Dial #250 and say the words Mike Rowe, and you'll get an additional 50% off your first month. That's #250 Mike Rowe. Pure Talk. Everything you need and nothing you don't.
You're listening to WRDN, 1430 AM, Durand, Mondovi, Wabasha, and 107.3 FM at Translator W297.